coming to know, have faith in, be obedient to, and being changed by Jesus Christ. We're really focused on what it means to call on the name of the Lord Jesus. Looking back at Romans 10, verse 3, we recognize that a lack of knowledge was a problem. A lack of knowledge was going to cause people to be lost. Paul said, these Jews, these fellow Jews, my brothers, he said, they have a great zeal for God, but they don't have the knowledge, and so therefore they're trying to bring their own righteousness, use their own righteousness, submit to self rather than submit to the Lord, and they're going to be lost because of it. And so there was a need for someone to explain the details. There was a need for someone to emphasize the significance of Jesus Christ. He said in Romans 9, verse 2, that his heart ached over the fact that there were lost souls. His heart was broken over the fact there were so many who would never call on the name of Jesus and be saved. So what's the solution? What's the solution to ignorance? What's the solution to heartache over those who will never call on the name of the Lord? Well, the solution is to tell people. I appreciate the prayer that was offered. Tommy said, help us to mention the name of Jesus to others, to talk about Jesus to those that don't know him. Because that's the solution to ignorance, telling people about who Jesus is and what he's done and what he expects. And that's what we're going to think about and see here. All must call. Alan read this, Romans 10, 13. All who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Everybody must call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Christ is the lone answer. Look at Romans 10, 4. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Christ is the goal. Christ is the end. Christ is the answer. Christ is the target. Christ is what we're aiming for. Christ. He said of himself, John 14, 6, I'm the way, truth, and life. I'm it. In Acts 4, verse 12, the Bible says it's the name of Jesus. That's the only name under which we can be saved, by which we can be saved. And so the key idea here is in Romans 10, 13, where the Bible says everyone who calls the name of the Lord will be saved. We need to make sure we know what this means. We need to make sure we know how this is accomplished. We need to make sure we know how this is lived out. We need to know and be assured of what it means to call on his name. So, let's make just a few observations here about what it means to call on the name of the Lord. Read with me here in Romans 10, beginning at verse 5. A very interesting passage here, one that I think is very often skipped, because there's at least two different little sections here in Romans 10 that you know really well. One of them was one we read. You know very, very well about calling on the name of the Lord and that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of Christ. You know that. You know verses 9 and 10, you know about with the mouth confession is made to salvation. You know those things. You've heard those in Romans 10 a lot. But there's other verses in Romans 10 you haven't heard very much. Certainly haven't given as much thought to. But this first one that we're going to read, I'm taking some time here to kind of diverting away because I really want to emphasize this. I want you to see how special this little paragraph is, how special these lines are. They're just as inspired and they're just as wonderful, they're just as awesome as the others in chapter 10 and in all of Scripture. Listen to this with me. Romans 10, 5. Moses writes about the righteousness that's based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Now, I fully recognize that's not a passage that we like reference on a weekly basis. You may be thinking right now, what in the world is that even talking about? Ascending into heaven, descending into the abyss. What are we going? What's the deal? Let me tell you a couple of things really quick. Let me just give you this little phrase to keep in mind. This is what it's about. Jesus and his message. So Jesus himself and the message he shares, they're accessible and they are understandable. Jesus is close and the message he shared, you can know it. You can understand it. It's not on some esoteric, crazy plane out there somewhere that only a select few can get it. Jesus is close, and the message he shares is something that all of us can embrace and know and live and love. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful to know that Jesus said, even though I am infinitely wise, I'll share a message with you that you can get, that you can embrace. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that the Lord has shared things in a way that even I can understand it. And so here's what you need to do. Recognize that Paul is using Deuteronomy 30 as his background here. So maybe go with me to Deuteronomy 30, because he's not just directly quoting it, but he's heavily referring to Deuteronomy 30 here. So let me give you a quick background, quick context of Deuteronomy 30, because it's key to understanding Romans 10. Deuteronomy 30, we're getting close. Moses is leading the people. They're getting close to the promised land, right? They're there at the border, if you will, getting ready to cross in and go in and take the promised land that God had assured them of so many years ago. And so Deuteronomy is the second giving, a refresher course, giving the law once again. So Moses is telling the people, the nation of Israel, all the things they need to know, all the things they need to remember as they prepare themselves to go in and take the promised land. So look with me, Deuteronomy 30. Let's read at verse 2, beginning. He says, "Return to the Lord your God, and you and your children, and obey his voice and all that I command you today with all your heart, with all your soul." If you'll do that, if you'll obey with heart and soul, this is what will happen. Verse 3. "The Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have mercy on you, and he'll gather you from all the peoples where the Lord has scattered you." Drop down to verse 9. "The Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your womb and in the fruit of your cattle and the fruit of your ground. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you, as he took delight in your fathers. When you obey the voice of your Lord God to keep his commandments, his statutes that are written in the book of the law, when you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul." Now note what he said. When you obey the word I've given you, when you obey